Welcome to the One Bottle of Wine podcast. I'm Emily.
And I'm Anissa.
And tonight, you're in for a little treat. We have asked two special guests to join us as we tackle this beast of a topic, one sip at a time. But before we get to the meat of tonight's episode, I want to introduce our special guests, and then I'll have Anissa tell us about the wine. So we have Jammy and Shady. If you guys want to just say hello, Jam, I'll let you go first.
Hi, I'm Jamie.
And Shady.
It's hard to follow that one up, but yeah, I'm Shady. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Whether Jam shares that sentiment or not.
Yeah, I'm real happy to be here, bro. Thank you so much to the ladies for having us on here. I'm just trying not to embarrass myself.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're excited to have you guys, especially for the topic. But before we get there, Anissa, do you want to tell us about tonight's wine?
Absolutely. So, wow, this is one of my favorite wines. It's a great blend that I get from Total Wine. It's called Kaleidoscope. It's a 2019 edition. It's from California. And I don't know. I mean, it's 13.5% alcohol, so it might be drunk talking right now. But I think that it's a really good wine to have at any time of the day. So why don't you guys take a sip and let me know what you think. Shady and Jam and Emily actually have not tasted the wine at all. So I need your honest opinion.
It's good.
Maybe you need more than one sip. I don't know.
No, I like it. I definitely like it. It's almost like a little sweeter than some reds, I feel like, that I would typically.
Than the red blends that you're used to. Yes, because I'm glad you said that, because there is a chocolate like flair to it. It's a vanilla chocolate mix, but it's kind of oaky.
Definitely oaky. I like this a lot, actually.
Yeah, good. This is easy to drink. It's like Em said, it's a little bit sweeter, but that's not a problem for me. It'll go down either way.
It's because of the chocolate, I think. That's what I think.
I'm with you on that. I think it's the chocolate just sets it over the top. But yeah, This is dangerous right here.
Good. It's careful. A good dessert wine, something to have maybe at the end of dinner if you want to keep drinking. It's not very expensive. It's about $13 a pop. And honestly, the bottle is actually really cool looking too. So yeah, it's a win for me.
I give it an 8 out of 10.
Ooh, 8 out of 10. I'm flattered.
Yeah, I agree with that. 8.5. Like, I'm going to finish this, whether I should or not.
Okay.
We should start rating them like that. We should really start incorporating that into our intros for the wine.
What's the rating for you?
I'm going to go 7. I know that's maybe being a little harsh, but
no, it's the first rating, so you gotta set it low.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's definitely good, but for me, I actually think it's a little on the sweet side, like more sweet than I would typically prefer.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. I agree, but it's still really good.
It is good. I'd still drink it. What's your rating, Anissa?
I would give it probably an 8 out of 10 too.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, primarily for me, I think I like red blends and I like them to normally be dry, but this one is not like a red blend that I've had in recent months or that like I typically go for. So that's kind of why I prefer it.
Well, to each their own.
Yeah. Okay. Em, do you want to tell us about what we're talking about tonight?
Yes, I do. So tonight we have kind of a men versus women, women versus men, where we are going to talk about just some very general stereotypes for each gender. So some typical things you might hear that are targeted towards one gender or the other. And so we thought it would be great to have two men with us today to also make sure that they touch on the stereotypes that have to do with them and see if they think that there's some truth to them or whether it's total bullshit.
Sounds good to me. I will note that please nobody take offense to anything that we're saying. We're just talking stereotypical, like general thoughts that first pop into our heads when we think of, you know, the other sex. So
yeah.
All right. Nah,
I want smoke.
We're trying to beat the allegations right now.
We're going to fight at the end of this, aren't we, guys?
Let's get it.
Okay. So the first one for men is, if a guy isn't initially attracted to a girl, it likely won't work out, even if she's got everything else he likes. So, Jamie, what do you think?
I mean, that's facts. I can't dispute that. So I, you know, I'm fortunate to have like a lot of like close friends that are women, and I've known them for a long time. And like when we were younger, especially like high school, college days, I would try to explain that to them, you know, as they chase some of these boys, like we know, So if you think like, oh, there's a chance, we know, like, when I met Tiff, I knew within like 2 weeks, like, I already know what it is, man. I have to lock it up. I got to do what I got to do. I'll put a baby in this one day. Like, let me just start thinking and planning ahead, bro. I already know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the honesty.
That's, you want to worry about that from him. Like, but I mean, he's definitely right here. Like, it's not even like necessarily shallow. It's just like, you can tell when you see it. Like, that doesn't mean that it's the same. Like, there's no standard, even for like from guy to guy, because that's going to change. There's no like standard for what makes you attracted to them. It may be part of the package, like the other things they have that check your boxes, but there is a certain level that's hard to define that you the eye test, as like cliche as that sounds, like, you know, like you said.
Yeah.
I have a question. Has there ever been a time where you did try to date someone that maybe you weren't totally attracted to, but you were like, okay, they're really cool, or like they've got everything else I've been looking for, and you like tried to make it work and it didn't work? Or has that never really happened?
Yeah, I definitely tried. It's hard, man. It's like, you know what I mean, to be fake every single day, put on a smile, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing worse than too, like Shady mentioned, like the looks, it for me, it's never been that. It's always like the personality is cool, but then there's like I definitely had some old things that I was like, yo, if she tells another joke, like go. And I had some, you know, during my whole phase, I definitely had some ladies that it was like, all right, you know, we came over, we did the Netflix thing, then it was like we did what we had to do, and then I was like, I gotta go home, because I couldn't even fake it to be around them long enough.
Yeah, I don't want to be here. Yeah, basically, like, yeah, that's, I wouldn't say tried to date. Like, you could, you know, there's also a sliding scale on what you call dating or talking to and all that. But it's like, when you know something like that, and like when we talk about attractiveness, like he said, yeah, it's not just looks, like it's, there's just an appeal of the whole package. Like, you know, if it's worth your time or not. And so you kind of limit that time that you spend on it. I wouldn't ever say I've like tried to do a relationship with somebody that I knew from the rip it wasn't going to work out with, but I think that kind of covers it.
Yeah. I was going to just throw in there that when you think of attraction, like the first thought to most people's mind is like their appearance, right? Are they attractive in the way that I see them, you know, off the first time that I meet them or whatever, but there's so much more than that people will interpret as attraction. As you get to know them a little bit more. On that same topic, I kind of just want to chime into like our thoughts. Do you think it's the same for females?
I personally don't think it's the same for me. I mean, exhibit A, not that I wasn't attracted to Daniel, my husband, when I first met him. Like, I didn't think he was unattractive, but we just didn't see each other that way. Like, we saw each other as friends for so long. And then like, obviously it turned into something else. I know that he thought differently. I know he thought that I was attractive when he first met me. I don't always go into stuff thinking about it that way. So like, it's hard for me to say that. I definitely feel like I'm very attracted to personality. So like, if he's funny or like, if he's got other good qualities, I feel like I tend to think that guys who are nice guys, who are, you know, quality dudes, are more attractive than, you know, the pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What about you?
I mean, and I would probably agree with you on that. I think there are a lot of people that I have dated in the past or like talked to or gotten to know where like initially I'm like, no thanks. And then through, I don't know, countless efforts of them trying to get with me or like talk to me or hang out with me or, you know, just get to know me in any slightest way, they like became more attractive. I was like, okay, maybe I am into you or worth giving you a shot. But I think a lot of present day is skewed because we use dating apps like Tinder, Bumble, and whatever the other ones are, Hinge and all that stuff. We use all those dating apps. So it's all about appearance and immediate attraction. Like, hey, could I be with this person? Like, would they look good next to me versus, you know, just being attracted to them like naturally.
Yeah. No, I agree. Definitely. Okay, let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Next one is men are always the ones to cheat in a relationship. So this time we'll start with Shady. Let's see what Shady thinks.
I mean, I've never cheated on anyone that I've been in a relationship with. I cannot confirm or deny technically if I've ever been cheated on in a relationship. You never know if you don't, like, there's no way to prove it, but I can speak for myself. I know people that have cheated from both genders. So the one that, you know, saying they're the only ones to do it, I would say is not accurate. This isn't even trying to defend men because I think we are pieces of shit, but I've seen it from both ways. And I've seen people be habitual cheaters from both genders. So to me, from what I've seen, that isn't true.
Okay. What about you, Jam?
It's the biggest lie in the world. Y'all are so low. So low. Look, do men cheat? For sure. Black men don't, but men do cheat. You know, it is, this is confirmed. I can't deny that. I have, like Shady, I've had friends that have dabbled outside of their relationship. But like I said, I have a lot of female close friends, and on the scale of cheating, my gosh, it's like, yeah, my dudes have done some crazy stuff, but the girls, it's crazy how they do this and they just don't get caught. You guys are so much more clever at being sneaky, hiding the evidence and leaving it so you don't know. And personally, I have, like, been in relationships where the girl has cheated. So I know for it. Yeah. Y'all are so sneaky. But men, we get the bad raps, but it's only because the evidence just be out there. It's like, you know, you ever watch those, like, TikToks of, like, the dogs, and they do something and the owner's like, did you do it? And the dog's got, like, the dead giveaway face. Like, that's us. And then y'all are like the cat that's, like, real sneaky that nobody can catch, does all the bad stuff.
I'll also say, like, it's easier to prove, like, or find evidence of, like, physical cheating, I think. Like, you can get caught in the act, I think, and I'm not trying to stereotype, but I think probably a stereotype that's out there is that men physically cheat quite more often than women, and women emotionally cheat, which, depending on who you are, one of them can be worse than the other. Men probably, or whoever gets caught physically cheating, would probably argue that it was a one-time slip up and it was a mistake, babe, take me back. Emotional cheating is more of a long-form process where you're basically, whether you are actually engaging in a relationship with someone emotionally, like, in your head you might be, and that can kind of put more distance between you than not defending it, but one instance of just having, you know, relations with somebody else, like, one time and fucking up. Like, I'm not saying it's right, but one can be worse than the other.
Can I just say that y'all are saying some straight up facts, not just to defend the males in this scenario, but also just, you know, I know a lot of girls and guys, because I'm friends with both as well, that have been unfaithful through the length of their relationship. And I don't just, you know, for our listeners, like, we're not that old, so we don't have a lot of people in our friend groups that have been married for like 10 years plus to know, you know, the struggles that a relationship of that tenure could go through in terms of cheating. So when you're just dating someone, it's almost deemed a little bit more appropriate or, like, acceptable or forgivable than it is when you're in a marriage and you've promised to be with this person forever. So we don't have, just, you know, so everyone knows, we don't have, like, that same experience. I know you're married, like, 3 years and counting, and we all have, like, parents and stuff like that, but we don't have friends that we've seen do those things. So when we're talking about, like, friends that have cheated on both ends, at least personally, I'm talking about people that have been in relationships that they probably shouldn't have been in to begin with. So both guilty parties in that spectrum, and facts when you say women are better at hiding that shit. We're better at a lot of things that you guys don't know, but, you know, that's not one I'm proud of.
I also say, when people get, you know, when two people get out of a relationship, like a heterosexual relationship, quite more often than the men, the women already have someone else that's to fall back on. So, like, true. Dudes, we suck. Like, we can't figure shit out. We don't know how to get with the women that we want half the time anyways. So quite more often than that, the woman already knows who's next.
Yeah. That breakup phase is very telling when you mm-hmm. break up with Shorty and then 2 days later, like, she's emotional for like a day or two. And then, like, now she got like three dudes out of nowhere, and we're like, oh, it's whatever, I'm not worried. And the next thing you know, we're like crying over her Instagram, like, damn, bro.
Yeah, you see a pinky in a story and you're like, you're just in the depths. You're hiding under a blanket.
Those Jordans, and I'm like, god damn.
Men just don't realize what they have till it's gone. And women give you too many chances and then start to move on way before the relationship's actually over. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. I will say my commentary about this one and just sort of what we've talked about is that I actually think that cheating is much harder when you're married. Not that Daniel and I have experienced that. Neither of us have been unfaithful, but I think when you're married, it does get harder because then you're like, there's legal stuff that goes along with it. Then there's like, if there's kids involved, you have to work through all that. Rather than if you're just in a relationship, it's like, you guys can go your separate ways. No big deal. But like when you're married and there's kids and there's other, you know, houses and whatnot involved, it's like a whole other layer of, so I understand why when people experience cheating in relationships and marriages that they don't always get divorced, because it's definitely not easy to like completely break up a family, to break up everything you guys own, like to blow all that up over, you know, what could have been just like a one night slip up type thing. Like I definitely have a better understanding for that now than I ever used to when I was just in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Niece, what's the next one?
Okay. So the next one is kind of funny in my opinion, but men don't pay attention to detail. And we'll go back to Jam to start this one off. So.
I would say that I agree. I don't fit this one because I'm like super, super, super detail oriented, but I think that's just me. But I can't dispute that guys don't pay attention to detail, because I got some homies that just be like, damn, bro, do you like, I'm not gonna put no names out there, but some of my homies, y'all know who y'all are, y'all gotta be better at paying attention because the signs be there.
Yeah, it's not like, to say,
it's like, read your text message, please. I said it 5 minutes ago.
Well, reading comprehension is low amongst people that we know. But yeah, not to be all, we're not like other guys, but if I fucking like you, I'm paying attention to details. I think that's a big part of it too, is if you think someone's not paying attention to details, they're either one, slow, or two, they don't really care. Unfortunately, that's the easiest answer there. Like if I give a shit about you, like I better be paying attention to detail, or just like you said before, like you don't know what you got till it's gone. So you got to be on your ass if you actually want something.
Okay. Can I throw in a question to what you just said?
100%.
How do women on the other end decipher whether you're just bad at paying attention to detail or that you don't give a fuck?
You should be proactive with your actions or, you know, words, however, whatever it is that you paid attention to something that someone likes or wants done without them explicitly saying it. Like, you know that, you can pick up on that. It's not hard if you are actually engaged in a conversation to understand. It's like a give and take. You can listen at the same time you're talking. I mean, we do that with our friends too. Like Jam and I, like our group of friends, like if we know someone's going through a tough time, we're dropping off a care package at their house. Like it's not that difficult. If you give a shit about somebody, you know, if they're going through it, or if they just like something, you'll just think about that thing. You'll see, now it's easy. You see a fucking targeted ad for a thing that you know someone likes. You're like, I'm gonna go get that right now and get that shipped to them, or, you know, get tickets to it or whatever. It's not hard. Like as much as this shit is in our face with like all that stuff, like it's pretty easy to find something, especially if you put in a writing on your phone, that's going to show up somewhere else anyways.
Literally, we have notes. I mean, you could probably stalk the person that you're talking to on social media and be able to find out things about them, like in terms of detail. But Do you think that this stereotype is BS, or Jam just said his homies need to pay attention. So,
I mean, he's right. That's why I said, like, not to be like some scumbag and be like, well, I'm not like other guys. Like, I think every dude cares about somebody. Yes, some of them just are dumb. Like, but like that could be a sign they just don't care that much. Like, eventually, if you're dumb and you keep fucking up things that you actually wanted, you also figure out that you need to start paying attention to details. So, I would say it happens more often than it doesn't that people don't pay, or men don't pay attention to detail. But like when it matters, I think we do.
I like that.
I mean, I think it just depends on the guy, right? Like, I do think this is like this could be not necessarily a men or women thing. This is just like a person to person thing. Like there are detail oriented men, there are detail oriented women. There are women who maybe don't pay attention to detail as much, and men who do. So it's just kind of like, I just think this is more a variable person to person, not men versus women necessarily.
But men definitely get, it harder than women, because we are so much more open about the details than men are. Men don't care about like whatever present you get him. Like he tells you he likes whiskey, he is not going to tell you like, you ought to get me this type of whiskey. He's pretty open about it. But if I tell you I like roses and you show up to my house with tulips, like, bro, were you listening? You know what I mean? So that's why I guess it's important.
I mean, I definitely think it's a stereotype for sure. Like I do think a lot of men get stereotyped as like, they don't care about the details and like, they're just dumb basically, you know, or trash.
It goes back to the first topic though. If he's attracted to you, he's going.
Then he'll listen to the details.
Yeah, I think we're going to hit that a couple times.
At least for a few years. And then after that, and then it all goes out the window. Once he's got you, it all goes out the window.
No comment.
Yeah, no argument. Yes.
All right, Em, what's next on the list?
Okay, this is like a huge stereotype for sure. Men don't cry. So Jam?
It's shady.
Oh, it's shady? Okay, so shady. You're first.
I mean, that's bullshit now. Like, I cry all kinds of shit. Like, but usually for me now, I think it's because everything's so fucked up. And I cry at like happy things. Like I watch things that just like make me feel better. Like I watch Spider-Verse like every other night, like when I'm drunk. Like I'm not drunk every other night. I mean like every other time I'm drunk, I watch it at night. And it's like just a beautifully made movie. And like Jam and I have talked about this, but like something like that, that's like every single piece of that movie is like made perfectly and like has a good message. Like I'll cry watching that. I like to, when I'm like on a plane and it has like the on-demand stuff, that has Coco, I try to see if I can watch the whole movie without crying next to strangers on the plane. You know, just challenge myself emotionally. I love to do that because it like, it's just lets out good emotions. Like I don't really cry when I'm sad. I more just get like upset or like depressed about things, but like I cry happy tears all the time because there's so little things to be happy about now, like how fucked up everything is.
Wait, do you know that there's actual science behind crying on airplanes? Like more.
I didn't, but I can be part of the sample size.
Yeah. Like there's some science behind, like there's people who rarely ever cry that when they get on airplanes and they watch movies, for some reason, there's like a much higher percentage of people that will cry to movies on airplanes versus just, you know, on the ground.
Yeah, I cried everything on the plane, off the plane. I cried at like fucking American Vandal, the show about dicks getting spray painted on cars. Like if there's like just a nice, like happy sentimental moment, you might get me. You get me on the right day.
I'm with you. I'm so with you. I'm a soft ass bitch when it comes to fucking watching movies, like when other people are crying, shows, all of that. Like you got like, I can't even help it. Okay.
Hey, y'all get your tears out. I'm not a crier, so I don't, you know what I mean? I just be,
no, we don't cry.
It's not like I don't want to. I like, it's weird. Like probably a week or two ago, I just wanted to cry, but I couldn't. I was just like, damn, I'm happy, I'm chilling, but like, it'd be cool to let some tears out, you know what I mean? Get my emotions out, but nothing comes out. I don't be crying. I don't know.
Must be nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least I cry. So that's one, like at least one man does cry. So that's fine. But I think men have become better at being vulnerable too.
Yeah, it's split. I'd say we have some friends that, we got a really like open friend group. So
yeah.
Dudes always admit when somebody's crying or not. So we do, you know, I feel like half our friends cry and the other half, not so much. I'm in the half that don't. I just be chilling.
Okay, but men as a whole, thoughts on men as a whole. Is it like absurd for us to think that men don't cry?
I would say probably it is absurd because I actually feel like a lot of dudes are crybabies. They may not cry around you, but like dudes be crying.
Yeah, 100%.
They be crying.
I was at a bachelor party this summer, which is usually a hotbed of testosterone. Two separate men cried to me when we were drunk about happy tears, but about being fathers and, you know, like getting married and all that stuff. So like I said, I don't know about sad tears, but I know a lot of men are more vulnerable about like things they're excited for and happy for now than probably before. But it's fair to stereotype it because we don't do it typically unless we feel comfortable or we're by ourselves.
Men around men cry a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think they cry around women. I'll give you that stereotype. Dudes around dudes is crazy. Like when you having a bro sesh and shit gets intense, somebody gonna let them tears out, man. And it's like, it's either happy tears or sad tears regardless. But like, I don't know what it is, man.
It's a comfort level, I think. I will say that I think the stereotype stems from, you know, like manlyhood and being like the man of the house. And, you know, in the past, the stereotypical, like, you know, dad or male works for the family, gathers, does all this, and the woman is the stay-at-home mom. So the stereotype definitely, I think, has evolved especially in our generation. I know a lot of guys that have cried in front of me openly, whether there's alcohol involved or not. Not about me, guys, calm down, but just cried about things in front of me. So I do think the stereotype stemmed from a long time ago, and I think it's evolved a little bit, but I don't think it's fully gone. Like, I think a lot of the guys that I still hang out with and talk to and like I'm friends with are on Jamie's level and not on Shady's level yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm a level to you need to try to achieve now. He's below that.
Hey, I ain't got no reason to cry, bro. I'm chilling.
Well, we'll talk.
Happy tears are a real thing, though. I think the last time Daniel like really cried was probably when Sweetie Buns was born, which is a normal, you know, time to cry.
And no, I feel like we make fun of him in the group text. He cries like once a week.
Why you gotta call the man's out, Em?
Well, Jam and Anissa, you both saw him at our wedding.
Kyle, though, at your wedding.
And I had never seen Kyle cry before that moment. Never. Never. All right, Anissa, what's next?
All right. Men want sex more than women.
Nah. Hell.
Mika covered it. Yeah, that's the answer is no. Like I feel like you sometimes.
I don't even think women should want this rumor to exist. Like, I think that's part of the problem that we have in society, where we look at women like they're in this box, and then like when they want to, you know, get their freak on, we're like, oh, they're sluts. Like, no, bro, y'all just want to get it in just as much as we do. It's probably on equal footing, but I will say, like, in my experience, I don't know if it's because I'm built different, but you know, women be, you know, they be ready. That's all I'm gonna say. I be trying to take the slow gentleman approach and they be ready.
Facts.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, like women shouldn't be shamed for having a healthy sexual appetite. And men men should be shamed. Like vice versa. You got to pick one. I think he's right. You know, perhaps not all of us are a sex symbol like him, but I've definitely been in situations, relationships, whatever, where it's like, shit, all right, like I'm tired, but like, I guess we're going to do this. We're going to get it back on that horse. Like for sure. I think that what he's saying is true.
Okay. So my two cents on all of this is, again, back to what we've been conditioned to think and do and all that stuff. Women are not nearly as comfortable with their sexuality and like what they want and all of that stuff as they could be, right? Because it's been shamed for so freaking long. And I love sex, okay? But I'm not like, this isn't supposed to be a sex talk. Like whoever listens to this, like, I am so sorry. But seriously, like it varies, right? Like there are times, like you said, Shady, that the male is tired or the woman's tired. Like it's going to go back and forth. I don't think that the stereotype is far off, because I still run into scenarios where the men has a higher sex drive than I do personally. But I do think that it's a lot more even than people want to admit.
I mean,
you don't have to get in your sex life. Just tell me what you think. Okay, sis.
And I totally agree that there's like, I think that it's just been shamed in women for so long. So it's like women don't want to talk about it, or they don't want to, you know, if they're comfortable with someone, they will like show that side, but they don't want to like tell other people that that's how they are, because it's more shameful for women to be that way. But yeah, I definitely don't agree with that one at all on a pure like validity of like how valid that statement is. I don't think it's valid at all, but is it a stereotype? Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be a stereotype. Again, going back to like what was once is like that men were the driver of so much sex related stuff. Like anything that you can think of sex related started with a man. Okay. And women, as Jamie said, if they express their sexual drive the way that men did, immediate sluts.
Yeah.
Whores, like not okay.
Even in our generation, though, I feel like that happened. Like if you think back to even when we were in college, like maybe even in high school, like the women who were exploring their sexuality on an equal playing field as men probably got labeled as sluts in college or in high school. And like, that's not, I mean, now looking back at it, it's like, why? Who cares? They did what they wanted to do.
I agree.
Okay.
Enough about the sex talk. What's the next one, Em?
Still a little bit on the sex talk.
Okay.
Men are only nice to women when they want to sleep with them.
No, I mean, yes, if I want to like sleep with somebody, I'm going to be nice to them, but that doesn't mean that's the only person I'm nice to. That's fucking stupid. If you're only nice to like one person, then no one's going to like you. I know this is not like that's taking it more generally, but like, no, there's plenty of women in my life or women that I didn't want to sleep with that I'm nice to, because typically like I value women's opinions and like their friendship and shit like that too. So I'm not going to like brush people off and think they have no value to me just because I don't want to sleep with them. But I will say, like, if you kind of invert that, like, yes, if I want to sleep with you, I'm going to be nice to you because that's, I'm not an idiot. So that's where I stand on that one. Well, I'm not an idiot for that. I'm an idiot for a lot of other shit, but.
What about you, Jam?
I agree with Shady just said. I feel like that's just not true, but I actually think it's the, if anything, I don't know. In my experience, man, like, I think it's the opposite for men. Like, in my experience, if you wanted to go get you some cheeks, you actually were not that nice to the girl. And somehow she was attracted to it and it just worked. I would definitely say that not true. And if anything, we're more mean when we just want some ass.
Really? You think that that's going to get you more ass if you're just like straight up blunt, rude, whatever?
I'm only speaking from experience.
My only thought process with this one is that men typically, like, if they're just trying to fuck, will meet a girl out or like in a scenario where being nice is considered like, oh, I'm just going to buy her a drink and that's me being nice. Like, you really don't got to go the extra yard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go and take her out on 5 dates. Like, if your ultimate goal is just to smash, you're going to meet someone out that night and like be nice, quote unquote. It's not that hard. But if you really want to like smash a girl that you like, you're not going to go on 5 dates with them to like get it. You know what I mean?
I think it depends on the intention, right? Like, if you're just trying to sleep with them, I agree with Jamie where it's like, you're probably not going to be all that nice if all you want to do is sleep with them. If you're trying to date them or like have a relationship with them, it's a little different. Then you're probably going to be nice.
But if you don't know off the bat, which one it's going to be.
We know. I'm telling you. We know. So this is just free game for any woman who's single and is still doing any of that stuff. If we know, one, I already know what my intentions are. Sorry. You're probably not really going to change that. And two, I'm not going to be Mr. Sweet. Anybody? Well, actually, there's some dudes who do that. I'm not gonna lie, and I think it's just mad corny. Like, those are the dudes who don't really actually have that much game, and they don't really get a whole lot when they go over the top. Like, they're gonna do, you know, be this knight in shining armor, and then they get what they want, and then they dip. They only do that because they have zero game. You got any like a lick of game? You don't have to do that. You don't have to at all. I like to think of it like this: I wasn't an asshole when I was doing that. I was real. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Right. You just happen to be an asshole inside. So you're being yourself. That doesn't, you know.
So when she says, when are you going to take me out? And I'm like, stop playing. Like, I'm not being an asshole. I was just saying, like, you know what it is. Like, we know what it is. Why we got to do that? Let's just get to the point.
Okay. Now we're going to throw it over to the guys to do some stereotypes for the women. So we'll hand it over to Shady for the first one.
Thanks. So the first one we have here is that women that don't want children have something wrong with them. Anissa, would you like to address this?
I think that's honestly a very, very dumb stereotype. Primarily, I don't mean to like say dumb, you know, so freely, but it is because there are, I guess maybe in the past, I would see how that could be true. Right? Like they had maybe infertility issues or something wrong with them. Like actually where they couldn't have children is where this stemmed from. But, you know, the older that I get and the more people and strong women that I'm around, the more that I see that this is just absurd. So personally, I don't think that the stereotype makes sense. I think men just need to like point something out, something wrong with a woman to make themselves feel better about themselves. Anything you want to add to that?
I also think this is really, really fucking stupid. Okay. I mean, like, A, if you don't want children, you don't want children, and there's nothing wrong with not wanting children. It's every person's decision what they want. And to build off of what you said too, sometimes it's not that easy. For so long in our lives, we go, you know, like trying not to have kids, and then you try to have kids and you realize it's a lot harder than you think it is. There are women who struggle with this and couples who struggle with this who really want to have kids and just can't have kids, and maybe aren't financially able to like do fertility treatments or do the things that people would do to eventually have a kid. And, you know, it's just like, never judge anyone's journey in terms of having children, whether it's women or men, you just never know what anyone's going through. So especially like my advice, having been through our own fair share of troubles getting to where we are now as Sweetie Buns, just never, ever judge anyone's journey, because you just never know what they're going through and they're probably not being public about it.
So just to build on that, great point, Em. When you say something wrong with them, there's so much that something can mean, right? There could be psychologically something wrong with them. They could be like, you know, internally something wrong with them in terms of like their reproductive system. There could be so many other factors that go into the something wrong with a woman. And I just think it's dumb to assume that just because she doesn't want children, there's something wrong with her.
Love it.
Thank you. All right, Jam, what's the next one?
The next one is women that prioritize their career over relationships or having children are cold and selfish. And that's, yeah, Em, you got this.
Yeah, this is another one that's like fires me up a little bit, because it's to each their own in terms of what women like want to prioritize in their lives. And I feel like for so long, like the household dynamics were that like women put their careers aside to have families and to raise families, and men got to like pursue whatever career they wanted. And now that we're realizing that that's absurd, it's still like there's this glorifying of stay-at-home moms. Again, stay-at-home moms, praise them, because that's a really, really hard job. But to have that expectation that women will just drop their careers and drop all of their successes to raise families, in my opinion, is old school. And I feel like especially there are a lot of women nowadays who their careers are actually more successful than their husbands or their partners. And in that scenario, you know, you have to do what financially makes sense. Daycare is not cheap. Like having childcare is not cheap. So if you are in a situation where your woman or your partner is more financially stable than you are, like we should be supporting the women to pursue that and to continue that. So I don't think that women are selfish or cold for prioritizing their careers, especially if they are the breadwinners of the family.
First off, I work in the car industry. Okay. So I'm around a lot of males that make a lot of money so that their women can stay home and take care of the kids. Okay. So I still, like Em said, live in that old stereotypical, my wife's at home. She's got this. She's taking care of the kids. She's at home because you make a lot of money and because you told her to be home, right? Not because, or at some point in that conversation, you realize and you decided that her job or career wasn't worth your kids growing up, you know, with a nanny or, you know, in daycare or whatever the hell it may be. But the biggest point that gets me with this being cold and selfish aspect of it is, why am I selfish for wanting the same thing that you want, right? You want to be independent and make money and support your family and work and follow your career. I want the same shit. The fuck? So what? Why am I selfish? Yes, I gave birth to the child. Yes, I'm probably going to breastfeed that child, but I'm still allowed to follow my dreams and be who I want to be. What? So that stereotype honestly pisses me off, because, you know, there are days that I battle both. Like earlier today in the conversation I had with Emma, I was like, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And she goes, no, you don't. And I said, okay, well, let me live that for 5 seconds. Okay. And then the next day I'm like, I will never be a stay-at-home mom, like ever. So I had back and forth, but I think men like to stereotype us with this aspect because they don't have that option. They get frowned upon if they were to be a stay-at-home dad.
It's true. Yeah. The stereotype works kind of both ways. It's like men who choose to stay at home, I feel like, are frowned upon. What do you guys think, Shady? What do you think about this?
I think it's dumb. I mean, you know, I used to apologize for using the word dumb before, but like some of this shit is stupid. Some people just don't want to have kids. Some people, whether it's for their career or not, you know, prioritizing whatever it is over a relationship or kids, like sometimes relationships suck. Maybe you haven't found the right partner. And you're like, I'm just going to, like, a lot of people talk about, like, you know, focusing on themselves, making the best version of themselves. Like that's important. Perhaps like me personally, like, I don't think I'd be a bad parent, but like this fucking world sucks. Like to me, like there's a lot of problems. Like I understand why people don't want to have kids. I understand why married couples that I know right now don't want to have kids. Cause like not just me, like a single dude, like There are people that have way more factors at play than being, I'm selfish because I want to, like, you know, just go on a bunch of vacations or dick around. Like, there are a lot of factors. Like you said, childcare is expensive. Really everything about raising a child is expensive. The college institution is crumbling and, like, you have to save for that, but what's the value in that whatsoever? Poverty is increasing. Do you want your child? Like, you can think about your child's future and say, even if I want kids, I am trying to think about what their life will be like rather than what my life would be like, perhaps being fulfilled by having a child, you know, not to be all, like, you know, doomsday and shit, but, like, there's a lot that's weighing on people more than I just want to make a lot of money instead of having a kid, or, like, I can't go on vacation every, like, 2 months. And then if I have a kid, like, there's a lot that goes into that, especially now.
Yeah, I totally agree. What about you, Jim? What do you think?
No, I totally agree with that. I actually, maybe like, if not yesterday, 2 days ago, I asked Draco, that's my girlfriend for everybody who doesn't know who that is. Her actual name is Tiffany, but I call her Draco because she likes guns and I don't. So anyway, I asked her like the other day if she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, just because I know with my career, it's getting in like my business, that money will probably double up or triple up in the next few years. So I'm looking at her like, if you don't want to, then you don't have to. But she was like, no, I want to do something. Like, I want to have my career or like a business or something like that. So, you know, I definitely think the stereotype kind of sucks. But yeah. And then I told her today, I was like, well, shit, since you turned on opportunity, you know what I'm saying? You want to be on your grind, sis, go ahead. I'm going to be a stay-at-home dad because I can't wait to be a papa. So
I like that.
The next thing we have, and I mean, we kind of hit on that a little bit when Anissa said one day she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and the next day she didn't at all. This stereotype is that women are the emotionally unstable ones in a relationship.
10 out of 10, like 100% facts. Like, I am not emotionally stable. Like, let me just be real. you know, I just also know a lot of the women out there that are probably on the same wavelength as me. And then I know my friends. Okay, Em's shaking her head because she's stable. Okay. But a lot of us are not. And what I mean by that is that emotional stability for women stems from a lot of factors. And it's, I think, you know, how we've been raised has a lot to do with it, and like where and why we feel we have to have some type of strength and stability and emotional attachment and all of that, so on and so forth, to go along with it. And I think that I'm emotionally unstable because I just, like, you know, one day I'm feeling some type of way and the next day I'm feeling another type of way. And I'm gonna just, you know, keep rolling with it till I figure it the fuck out. So I don't know how valid the stereotype is, but in my opinion, it's pretty valid. Please disagree.
I highly disagree. First of all, I was recently made aware that the hormone cycles of men occur in a 24-hour period. So men's like ups and downs of hormones and testosterone and all that stuff occur in a 24-hour period. Women's occur with their cycle. So they occur over like a month, or, you know, some women are less, some women are more, but they occur over like a month, right? So like their ups and downs happen on more of a day-to-day basis, like Anissa was saying. Right. So like some days she's feeling it, some days she's not. So like that makes sense in terms of like an actual hormone cycle. But like, I would say overall, yes. Are there some days I'm more emotional than others? Of course. But in terms of emotional stability, I was convinced for so long in my previous relationship that I was the crazy one. I was the crazy one. I was so emotional and all this stuff until all of his friends started to get to know me. And then they're like, wait, you're not that crazy. You're pretty cool. Why did we think you're crazy? I'm like, well, you think I'm crazy because you've been told I'm crazy for so long that you've just convinced yourself that I'm crazy. But really, this person just like didn't know how to understand emotions. And like, and, you know, it goes both ways. It was just not a great relationship. But like, I was being told I was crazy for having feelings, and then someone not knowing how to understand and empathize and communicate with those feelings. And so then it was like, I'm psycho, I'm crazy. Everyone thinks I'm crazy, but like, I know that I'm not. And right. I know I sound like I'm being really defensive.
let me chime in a little bit just to like back up what you're saying too. So the way I understood the question and, you know, the stereotype, I guess, is that women are one perceived and can be more of the emotionally unstable ones in the relationship, but it's not to say that men aren't too, you know what I mean? So we for sure are. Our cycles are proof of that. Like, I'm a different person when I'm PMSing than I am when I'm not. Okay. But I also, there are other factors and drives and things like that. I think I'm just more open about my emotions in general than men are. So that's why it seems like I'm more unstable, because you know more of my emotions. Like, I'm an open book. Ask me anything at any time and I'll be 100% open. I don't think men are that way, which is why it's perceived that we are more emotionally unstable. Yeah. But you guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
Like, I would disagree with this as well, because I think it also depends on like the male like maturation cycle. So like men, we tend to mature a lot slower than our female counterparts. And as a result, we go through like a lot of emotional unbalance. Like, I know when I was like a teenager and everything, like I was going through all types of feelings. And then once I was a late bloomer, so I really didn't hit puberty until like the end of high school, like college. And I could not control my hormones or anything. Like, I was constantly like fucking pissed off, trying to fight somebody, or like just upset, or, and then 10 minutes later, I'm like happy. Like, I was all over the place. And like, now that I'm in this like nice, like 30 something year old like stage, I'm just like super chill all the time. So I think it kind of like, for men, I think it really matters at like the time, like, because I mean, if you think about, and maybe this is just my experience, but if you look at like older couples, a lot of times, like, you know, like my granddad, he just be chilling. Like, my grandma would be all over the place, but my granddad just be like, whatever, man. And my dad was like that. And like, I just think like once we get to a certain point, we kind of just mellow out. So then it maybe shifts a little bit and women start looking a little bit more emotional than we do. But yeah, I don't know.
Just to, since you mentioned age, just to kind of get our listeners a little bit more in tune with how, like, what age we're talking at. Jamie, how old are you?
31.
Okay. And Shady, what about you?
32.
Oh, okay. I'm 28.
Wow. Must be nice.
And I'm 30.
I'm the baby. Woo. All right, Shady, do you have anything to say on this topic?
I have a lot to say, but I'll try to keep it short because I'm looking at the clock. And we've been talking for, I think, longer than any episode you guys have had so far. But Jam brings up a good point. I mean, it's kind of something that's like sometimes talked about. You may see it like online, like on Twitter, you see that too. Like, there's no one angrier than dudes until they're 25. Dudes are mad for no reason at the world, at everything, typically at stupid shit like sports, or just finding someone to blame for what they're mad at. What Em said too about being framed to be the unstable or crazy one, you know, whatever words, you know, problematic terms you want to call somebody in a relationship, without knowing both sides. I think dudes are much more of an unreliable narrator when they are the one at fault in a relationship. I know plenty of guys that, you know, Jam kind of nailed it. You do mature typically as you get older as a guy, and then you hit that 25 to 30 ish. Like, you figure out, you still don't have it all figured out, but you kind of mellow out. But one thing is for sure that I hear way more, you know, dudes saying, you know, she's crazy, blah, blah, here's all this stuff, like, or not even giving you like real content or like real facts about why they're crazy. It's like, I don't know, man, she's crazy. Like, just being real unreliable, not really telling full truths. I don't really, from the female friends that I have, get that. You know, I don't get like, you know, vague bullshit about why someone is crazy or wrong in a situation. Women will have the receipts and tell you why, how, when, where someone fucked up. It's way less reliable when someone has a guy who's showing history of emotional instability just amongst his guy friends tells me that some girl is crazy and she's in the wrong. So I would say this is wrong. But I mean, obviously, like everything, it can vary from person to person.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Jam, what's our next one?
Next one. This is a good one. It's kind of piggybacking off what we did earlier, but women should be the ones to maintain a home and care for the entire family. How do we feel about that, Em?
Oh, I feel very strongly opposed. No, I mean, not opposed fully, but I feel like it should be a 50-50 share. If you own a home together, if you have a child together, right? Like, that was a decision that you both made together. So it should be 50-50. Is it always going to be 50-50? No, it's going to ebb and flow. There's going to be times where someone's picking up more slack than the other. Someone's got a busy work schedule, the other one picks up slack. Totally fine. But in general, like, you make decisions together. You should be in on them together. Unless somebody really likes cleaning, unless somebody really likes to cook, it should go both ways. I know for Daniel and I, like we feel the same way about cooking. Neither of us are really passionate about it. Neither of us are really passionate about cleaning. I'm passionate about having things organized, so I'll organize things. But either, like, other than that, it's 50-50. We split stuff with Sweetie Buns. We split stuff with taking care of the house. And my personal opinion, that's how it should go. I know other people might feel differently. I don't think Anissa feels differently, but times have changed. We no longer live in that era where women take care of everything. But Anissa?
I am definitely on board with the whole 50-50 split. I live by myself. I have my own house. I'm kind of a neat freak.
You go, girl.
Yes. I'm kind of a neat freak. I like things done a specific way. I like my laundry folded right after it's done. I like my dishes washed before I go to bed. I like things put back into place before I go to bed. I'm just specific. Now, that should not just be because I like those things, I need to do those things on my own, right? Like, we should both want our place to look good, or our dishes done, or our laundry done, things of that nature. But I will probably take on that role because I enjoy doing those things. Okay, not, I don't enjoy cleaning and doing all that stuff, but there are things that I enjoy more than other things. I will literally let my trash bin sit in front until it's full before I roll it out 5 steps, but I have no problem folding laundry. So it's just a matter of like what you're into. But I do think that women should not be the only ones that maintain the house, the same way that I don't think that men should be the only ones that do, like, you know, handiwork. Like, that's just my thought process. I do still call my dad over to help me with handy things. I don't ask him to only do them, but I do ask him to help them. So I see it both ways. I think it's a shit stereotype, but I see the logic. Does that make sense?
Yeah. This is one of my least favorite stereotypes, because I'm absolutely not the guy to do no handiwork or nothing. I'm a certified pretty boy. I'm not trying to do none of that. Don't ask me. My girl knows that.
It's so funny. Who's gonna do the handiwork? You just gonna hire somebody?
I will pay somebody to do it. I have people in my life that are good at that, and they will do that. So props to them for learning how to do that. My mother put a sewing machine in front of me and not a hammer and a nail. So you're not gonna get me to do none of that handyman stuff. Don't even try. But like what you were just saying about, like, you really like to get everything clean, do the dishes before, you know, you go to sleep and all of that. Me and my girl are like similar in that we agree to, like, we both want to be super clean and like organized and do everything, but she definitely is like one level above me. So she'll like jump up to go do stuff. And it drives me nuts, because like, I want to help. I want to contribute. But it's on my time, and I'm not like it's going to get done in like a month. It's just like, I'm going to get to it in like 30 minutes. Like, can we just like chill for a minute? Like, she'll alarm clock go off in the morning, get up, start cleaning. Like, I'm with you, sis. I want to clean the crib today too. You know what I'm saying? Let's put the music on to clean. But like, damn, bro, let me wake up first. You know what I mean? So
right. It's
tough. Like, but I said earlier, like, I would totally like, I want to be a dad so fucking bad. So like, if you gave me the option to be a stay-at-home dad, if I had a woman who did all of that, I would take it in a heartbeat. It would be hard for me, because like, if you know me, you know I'm always like starting a business or like taking on multiple jobs or doing whatever. But the idea of kids is like everything to me. So I would definitely do it. And so it's tough. But then I also have that man part of me. It's hard as a dude to drop that pride. I absolutely want to like do everything and then like pay for everything and like all of that. And so I'm blessed that my girl also makes a good amount of money, so she wants to contribute and split. But I don't know, I think it's just like the way we were groomed as dudes, it's tough, like psychologically and like on your pride when you see your woman bend over backwards to do something or help. I you know, my girl yells at me a lot about how she's like, you never ask me for help, and it's like, it's hard. Like,
I was conditioned not to.
Yeah, it's hard.
So touching on that a little bit too, is it a lot of the stereotypes that we're discussing today, if you guys haven't already caught on, have to do with like past 50 years ago, what's stemmed and been passed on and what people still hang on to nowadays. I think that the same way that people expect men to bring home all of the money is the same way that men also, or people expect women to do all of the housework. And I think that times have changed and we just have to be a little bit more open to all of that. And I kind of like that we're talking about this because it makes people think about what their role in those stereotypes is, because they don't necessarily have to exist, but they exist because we allow them to.
I mean, y'all basically covered it, but I think I already forget who made the point, but it's a very valid point. Nobody fucking likes cleaning typically. Like, so you need to share the load, like the workload there. I think only one of the relationships I've been in was like someone who like absolutely didn't trust any, like me. Not that I was like, I'm dirty or anything. She's like, I need to clean it. If I don't do it my way, I'm never happy. So like, I'm going to get out of the way and let you clean. That's fine. Like, I'm not going to complain, but every other situation is like, you got to at least, if you're not even at least doing a third as a dude, like that's lame. Like, you got to like do something. Like, yeah, nobody wants to clean the fucking bathroom. It's easy to take the trash out. It's easy to load up the dryer or whatever. Like, you know how to fold your own, you should know how to fold your own clothes. So like, you can at least do your half of the laundry. All that type of stuff is pretty simple. It's not hard to load and unload a dishwasher. It's also not hard to scrub a pan after you've used it and not let it sit in the sink. None of this should be like novel concepts. I know that it is depending on when you were raised or who you were raised by, but you already covered most of it. Like, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
The next item is pretty simple. Women can't drive. So Anissa, go ahead.
That's a lie. Okay. I couldn't drive when I was 16, but now I can. So
legally you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure.
Let me pause y'all for a second. I drive for a living. I literally put miles on any vehicle that I'm driving. I know how to drive multiple vehicles. I do not trust myself driving stick. I think if I had a gun in my head, I probably would figure it out. But we just don't live in that society where I need to be able to drive a stick. I think I'm a pretty boss-ass driver. But I think I drive better when I'm by myself than when someone else is in the car because I'm easily distracted. I'm like, yo, so what you want to talk about? How was your day? So like, what's going on? And that just like changes the mood of the driving. But when I'm by myself, it's go time. Like, I might as well be on Mario Kart. Like, let's go. And
Dana will argue with you that I'm not a good driver. When I'm by myself, I definitely whip it. Like, I don't drive slow.
Sweetie buns in the whip.
No, never.
When she's in there, the most cautious ever, like speed limit or under, very cautious.
Those like baby on board stickers.
Yes, we do. We have multiple
in the Tesla.
I'm just
this in the Tessie.
I've been wondering myself because Twitter have cracked some jokes on this. What do y'all expect us to do when you got the baby on board sticker?
I mean, you know, I feel like when I see someone with a baby on board sticker, I'm like, oh. Okay, I need to be a little bit more careful. Okay, Anissa's saying honk. Anissa's saying you honk at them.
All the fucking way. Like, move out of the fucking way so I can whip it. But no baby on board.
I feel like I'm not a bad driver. We also did, like, a go-karting thing not that long ago. And, like, I was pretty damn good at that. Like, I was pretty good at it. So I don't think I'm a bad driver. I do think Daniel's a pretty good driver. I have to give him that he's probably a better driver than me. But I still think I'm a good driver.
Obviously, you drive safe with sweetie buns. How safe do you drive when it's just you and Daniel?
Oh, not.
Because I feel like men need two seatbelts to go across their chest and a handle on both sides.
I personally like to associate myself with good drivers. Okay. I think that is a characteristic that I look for in a friend, a female friend. So if any of my listeners, no, I'm just kidding. I don't know what you define as a good driver. You know what I mean? Like, what's a bad driver? What's a good driver? Like, yeah, of course I'm going to be safe.
Yeah, we need like advanced statistics, like analytics on this. Because
can I give you my proof? I can parallel park on one try and okay. I back up into a parking spot every time that I park. Like, let me just like prove to you, Shady.
Your credentials are wrong. We got you.
You're right.
My woman does the same exact thing. She backs into every spot. She parallel parks better than I do. But when it comes to real world driving, sometimes I'm like, hey, you know what I mean? Because I'd be a little bit worried in her decision making when we're out there.
backing in and like parallel parking, that's dunk contest shit. That's All-Star Weekend shit. Like, that's not every game, like in the trenches. That's not, I want to see what you do in the lane with people on both sides of us. Well, I wonder which car is going to come in contact first. And it's probably going to be my side, because I always feel like I'm out, I'm just the crash test dummy now.
I have to say, I learned how to drive in a Suburban. And I learned how to parallel park in a Suburban. So I can parallel park pretty much any car, and I can drive like any car. Cause that was a test that my parents put me through. They're basically like, if you can do it with this car, you can do it with any car.
I'll wrap this up.
Okay.
This is the final one, the finale. And this is the most important one. And it happens to just be facts, but we're still going to let you speak your piece. Women only date dudes with money, dinero, pesos, whatever the currency, crypto it may be. Y'all only care if that bank account is large. Tell me I'm wrong.
Okay. I'm going to say you're wrong. But what if we have our own money? What if we don't need a man with money? You know? Personally, I have never looked at a man's bank account, but I also haven't dated anyone since 2013. So, like, I'm a little bit off the game.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I started dating Daniel for his money. Honestly, I didn't know his financial status because we were in college. That doesn't count.
Yeah, nobody had money back then.
He had no money. So you were impressed that he can make $20 stretch for 3 days. That was...
Yeah, exactly.
I've never actually gone for a dude because he has money. Like, willingly, knowingly being like, yo, my man has bread. Let me go that way.
All right, pause.
Yes.
The opposite of that. Have you ever not fucked with somebody because he ain't have no money?
Honestly, no. So, no, I don't think that that's why. I do see where the stereotype comes from, because I do talk to some girls that are just like, he's got money, like, let me see where this goes. I don't think it's the sole reason, because again, the same way that you guys don't continue talking to a girl if it's not attractive, like, just because he has money doesn't mean that she's going to be into him. You know what I mean? It might be a short-term fix. It might get her a Gucci bag, but like, it's not going to, you know what I mean? It's not going to last.
Look, all I'm going to say is, anybody who knows me knows that I've always been like the dreamer of like relationships. Like, I always wanted to be married, have kids. I wanted to be off the grid since like we can remember. I didn't want to be in a game. The whole life chose me. I didn't want to ever participate in that. What I'm going to say is, all that time in my 20s where I was grinding and trying to build up my bankroll and get to the point that I'm at now, I was single as hell. And I was looking, I was trying. I wanted to be taken off the block. I was looking, I was in DMs every day. I felt like I had the credentials, and for some reason I never got chose. But the moment I took a new job, I got the paper up, the brand started growing. Here comes my lovely, incredible, beautiful girlfriend now. Where was she at when I ain't had no money?
So you think she's with you for the money?
Where was she? I'm just saying.
I will say that someone who has known him for more than half my life, I've known him since he was 14 and I was 15. There's a lot of facts in what he said. I would not confirm the last part of what he said, but everything about his activities and his goals and things like that are true. I think you present a very appealing package altogether. I would hope that the money is not the total part of it. I will say that no girl has ever dated me because of my money, but they have stuck around because I can pay for everything. So that, I think that is an important distinction. In my experience, that's never been like, oh, let's get together because of that. Because at a certain point, you're kind of splitting everything and doing all that, but they're not going to complain when they don't have money and you're taking care of it. But I will say, because Tiff is my friend, I don't think that last part was true, what you just said. So I'm just going to
understand that. I'm not saying she's a gold digger. I'm just saying it's weird how, as Shady said, I was number one draft pick material and nobody wanted to give your boy a chance until young Draco came through. And whether it was because of my money or not, I couldn't even get in the door until I had the bankroll.
Listen, I'm going to touch on this. Like, Megan the Stallion says it the best. Like, she got her own money, but she'd rather spend his. I mean, I've had guys spend my money.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just at the age where, like, I'd rather have the roles flipped, you know?
Right now, you got to do it with some paper. How that feel?
I mean, honestly, it's difficult to get used to.
Oh, her life is hard, bro.
Yo, my life is hard. Like, I'm trying to put, like, I'm trying to put out my credit card to split.
You have to put two cards down.
For like, I got this round, and then I look at the bill, I look at what the bill is, and I'm like, yo,
you got this.
You got this.
Jamie, for reference, I met him day one. He bought three sweatshirts.
Wow. He liked that. Okay.
Yeah, he knows who to impress.
Now,
yeah.
Circling all back to summarize everything, nice guys don't do all of that unless they're looking for more. So I like guy off back. He's not just trying to crack them cheeks. I respect it. Two, he already knows, because I already told y'all, men, we know what we want. So I think he knows what he wants. So I say you off to a good start. And he got money. He got money. One final note on the flip side, because I told you I didn't get drafted because of the money and everything. Me and Tiff are both very open people. When she told me how much she made and I found out she made more money than me, oh, I was slutting. You know what I'm saying? You already know. So I'm absolutely, I support y'all. If you want to date somebody because they got money, cool, because I like her money too.
Now he has cracked the other cheek. Yeah, it's fine.
But now you expect the same shit in return, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay, well, let's thank Jammy and Shady for coming on. Also, go check out the Jammy brand, because Jammy has his own business and he makes his own clothes and they're dope. Shout out to them. But thank you, Jammy and Shady, for joining us. We appreciate you guys coming. And Anissa, I'll let you take us out.
You guys have been phenomenal. I really appreciate the honesty. I appreciate you being real the entire time and tolerating us on the other end. As always, thanks for listening and following along on our podcast journey. Make sure to follow us on Insta at One Bottle of Wine Podcast and tune in next week for another glass. Cheers, everyone.